I don't know what exactly we're going to call this tonight. We can call it preaching, testimony. All I know is that when I was in a great trouble spot in my life, God spoke this word to me. I'm just going to leave it with you tonight. I'm going to read out of the 22nd chapter of the book of Acts. Can I get somebody in the house to give God a praise? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're there with me tonight, give me a great big amen. All right, praise the Lord. I'm going to read a few verses and just share what God's put on our heart, and I will be out of your way. We're going to start reading in verse 6 of chapter 22 in the book of Acts. And it says, "And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell into the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told of thee all the things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus." We're going to go ahead and go on down. In verse 19 it says, "And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him." Verse 21 says, "And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." Hallelujah. Are you glad you're here tonight? I thank God that I'm here. And I thank God for the word that comes, not just when you're studying it, and not when you're just generally reading over it to keep caught up in your knowledge of the word of God. But I thank God tonight for a word that comes by when we're in great need of something from God. I've been reading in the book of Acts, and you just have to consider where Paul was when he began to open up and talk about what he had went through. He was facing persecution from the Jewish people that was about him, and they had some disagreements, if you will, with the way that he was believing. And he was brought into a temple in a place and a time where he had an opportunity to open up and say where God had brought him from. I want us to know tonight that it was a very hostile environment. At the end of this, that he began to speak, there was those that was ready to slay him. There were those that were totally against everything that he was saying and were just waiting for the minute that he would give silence to his voice. Are you with me tonight? Hallelujah. I don't know where everybody is tonight, and I'm just going to preach to where I've been lately. Sometimes I walk around and feel like that when I turn to the right, that there's something that just pricks me to go back the other way. Then I hear something somebody says that sort of pushes me in the back forward. And then I get a little discouraged because I don't get the encouragement from people around me. So I begin to be down a little bit, and I begin to ache because I don't move around and don't operate in the gifts of God. Hallelujah. But I just want you to know that it's in times when you feel beat up that it's your greatest chance to open up your heart and tell God just what he's done for you. Tonight, I don't know who I'm talking to, but it's about time that even though we're being pushed around by the devil, that we remind ourselves, even in an environment where nobody would like it, just exactly where we were when God came down and met with us. Amen. I thank God that I had a Damascus road. I thank God that though I walked in darkness and was plagued by the covering of sin, one day as it came for Paul, the light shone down upon him. And now this light was quite different than the light that you would behold as the sun, for this light was the glory of God. Everybody that was around in that moment knew of the light that was in that place. Are you with me tonight? There'll be people, as you have an experience with God, will see the light that's in you, but only you can hear what God will say
when the glory comes down. Hallelujah. We could preach all night long and we could give you everything on our heart, but it's got to be that you will receive what God will put in your heart to do. What Paul had to go through wasn't an easy journey. It wasn't something that he was nationally televised for. Everybody on every turn was trying to come against him, yet he was one of the greatest apostles that walked on the face of the earth. Why? Because he had a steadfast faith in his spirit, and no matter where he was, persecution in the temple, in the ship that was tattered and torn, no matter where he was, God was still with him. No matter where you are, God will be with you. Oh, I thank you, Lord. No matter where it is that you are, no matter what people, and I'm saying people because I mean people, no matter what people will say to you to bring doubt, to bring confusion, to try to tear you down, they may be jealous of where God's taking you. They may try to be envious of what God is doing in your life, but you cannot give ear to the voice of the devil. No matter if it comes through your brother, your sister, your mommy, your daddy, your best friend, your co-worker, your boss, your greatest enemy, your greatest adversary, whether you read it in an email, a text message, no matter how the devil will try to reach to you, that's when you take a stand and say, God, I thank you for one day when the light came for my life and you spoke to my heart, and one day I began to have a change and I didn't go back to the road that was behind me, but I went to the road that was in front of me. God appointed him a place to go and he had to be led by the hand. How many of us know that though we feel the glory of God, that sometimes we've just got to be led as God would want to lead us? It may not be the church you want to be at right now, and I've felt that in my heart sometimes, but you just got to close your eyes, be blind to the circumstance, and let God lead you, because when you do that, he'll deal with your heart and bring you through something you never would have been able to make it through. Let me bring out this last part and I'll get out of your way. The part that just jumps out and gets a hold of me and shakes me up is that he said, they know of what I've done. They know that I was going after people and slaying them and persecuting them. They know of all my shortcomings. But what was the word that God spoke to him? Told him to go. My spirit has been beat down by so many things lately. And I can't begin to describe to you how hard it's been just to simply stand still. Does anybody understand where I'm at tonight? Know what it feels like just to have to stand still and trust God. It's been hard. But as God's glory works in me, the one thing that God will do is lead you. Another thing God will do is speak to you. But there was conditions before the words came down. A light had to come that brought clarity to darkness. If we are dwelling in the darkness of our trouble and our sin, we are not allowing God's glory to lead us. How many of us want to have a wonderful church service every time you come in? Man, I sure do. I love it. How many of us have been in services where you felt the glory of God come down? Let me ask you this. Have you ever had an experience where when the glory came down and God spoke to you, but yet in your heart you were somewhat afraid of what it was that God wanted you to do? We've all been afraid at some point. And what I admire Paul most for is not that he made it through the ship experience and not that he was bit by the serpent and it fell off of him, though those are great miracles and great demonstrations of God. What I admire Paul for most is that he overcame the battle of people. He overcame people that totally discarded everything that he was trying to teach them. Everything that he ever tried to say, people would just disagree with him. They were just looking. Have you been around people like this? Just looking for you to say something that they can just harp on and drill down on you and try to get down in your spirit and just aggravate you. I admire Paul the most because he overcame people. I know that sometimes
people will get us down. But the one thing we have to learn to do, as you're in services like you are tonight, and God's glory begins to move in the place, there has to be a moment where you listen for what God will speak to you. Tonight I'm going to be very plain. Sometimes God is speaking to us just to come to the altar for help, and we'll turn it away. Other times God will just look for us to have a praise in our spirit. But since it's not what we were looking for, we turn it away. Be times that God, that next move, that next blessing, next revelation, next almighty outpouring is just in when you begin to listen. So tonight, what I want to challenge you with and ask you to look into yourself, because I want you to grow. You got to ask yourself, when I feel the presence of God, am I listening to what He would lead me to do? I know every time I ever study, and ever have, I did far better if I listened than when I didn't pay attention. There are so many avoidable troubles that we could walk away from if we just listened to God when He moves for us. I'm every bit persuaded that if we would be more led by the Holy Ghost in our daily lives, that we would have some things that we wouldn't say. There'd be some things we wouldn't do. There'd be some things that we wouldn't feel. There'd be some voices that we would turn away. There would be some illnesses that we would put in rebuke. There would be some attacks by demons and devils that we would put under our feet. There would be loved ones around us that we would reach out to instead of ignore. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I want to be an example to everybody around me. But the one thing I've got to do before I ever do anything is listen for what God would have me to do. The one thing, and it's all you have to do when you feel the glory of God and the light comes and separates you from what you're going through. That which God puts ahead of you, the path He puts before you, is where you'll find the glory. My heart overflows tonight with the love of God. My heart is burdened for somebody in this place right now, because I know that in your spirit you feel that beat down feeling, that you feel that, and it's feeling hard and heavy on you. But as we continue in our lives and continue to obey God, even now, can I have some people help me by prayer? God just wants to give this to you right now. Not in a few minutes and not when you get home, just right now. Hallelujah. If you are wanting God to move, I just ask you, if you believe, just to lift up your hand as we pray this prayer right now. Lord, I thank You for Your presence. And God, I honor You for moving in this place. And God, I believe with all my heart that You have sent me here tonight to give this word. There may be preaching, that's fine, but God, this is for somebody that's hurting right now. And God just wants you to know that He sees exactly where you are, and wants you to know that as His glory is all about you and you feel His presence humbling you, oh, just to listen for what God would tell you. It may be for you to turn things off or to turn things down or to cut things out of your life, but as you listen to God in this moment, let Him lead you from things that would cause you more trouble than it was ever intended for you to have. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You can lift down your hands if you want to. I'm going to preach this last thought and I'll get out of your way. But there's so many times we're looking for a move of God when God's looking for us just to begin to listen at exactly what He would have us to do. There's been some nights that I tried to jump and shout and praise and pray and sing and preach. And all that God wanted me to do was just humble my heart and listen to what He would have me to do.
There's been some days I was driving down the road, you hear this, that I felt the presence of God and I wasn't saying a word. I wasn't praying a prayer, but God began to speak to me and said, hold your peace, son. Hold your peace. Don't let it out. Don't put it under your feet. You are above this. Let me tell you, the best encouragement that you'll ever feel is when you will listen to what the Spirit doth say to you. The best blessing I've ever got wasn't in a song, hallelujah, but it was when God led me out of my wilderness, when my heart cried out for help and I was humble and contrite and God changed my situation.
I know that there's been plenty of things we can make fun of me for, but here's another one we're going to add to the list. And I know this is going to be absurd, but for the next 10 seconds, I want everybody the best that they can to try to just have a moment of silence with your eyes shut and just take a moment and pray to yourself, Lord, what would you have me to do? If you notice, this is one of the only moments probably in your day as well as mine where you've had a moment of peace. This is what church is for, a moment of refuge. Just take that opportunity while your mind is before God and let God begin to lead you. Church, I love you with all my heart, and I'm longing, as Paul did, to see your countenance change, to see your joy be full. And I wish that I could say, if you listen to what this preacher said, everything would be okay. But that's not the case. God just uses preachers to do foolish things to confound the wise. How many of us know that? The number one way that you will find freedom, that you will find deliverance, that you will find your way out of something, is when you're listening to God. When you listen to God, your enemies become at peace with you. And sometimes people think it's because God moves on the enemies. And that's one way. But God can bring your enemies at peace with you sometimes if you're at peace with them. Paul was a mighty apostle, but the one thing that he preached the most was that though I have gifts, callings, think about this coming up for Valentine's Day. Gifts and callings, talents, abilities, the abilities to speak in heavenly language, have the gift of prophecy and wisdom and knowledge. There's so many talented, amazing people in here. Oh man, if we begin, we could probably start our own company with how many amazing people we have here to do great things and to do great works. So many talented people in here. But I want you to know that it's not in your talent that you have great value. Paul's greatest message to me was that though I have all these gifts that God's given me, if I lack love, everything that I possess in talent doesn't mean a thing. You can preach the house down, but if you're having a hard time loving your companion, don't tell me that your love is legitimate when you're trying to preach to people. Hallelujah. I've heard people say this sort of in the old way, but if you can't get it together at home, you might as well not try to give it a shot in the pulpit. That's hard preaching. But if you want to be real about it, that's the truth. If we can't get it together in our own lives to ever listen to God and to walk in a love, the same love that Christ forgave people with, the same love that will not look on people and preach on people because they're going through tough times and not giving people a hard time just because of where they've been or what they've done. Hallelujah. Paul recognized this and said, they've seen me do all of these things. But God's love spoke to his calling and said, go on. Hallelujah. And I give that word to somebody here in this place. You might be around people that do not appreciate you. Don't ever give you the time of day. Don't even answer the phone when you call. Don't even give you a moment of their time. But I want you to know, as you listen to God, he'll tell you to go and he'll give you the word. Right now, word. I'm feeling it by the Holy Ghost. Somebody's going to have a word in their bed tonight. Somebody's going to get a word in their car. Somebody's going to get a word on the radio. Hallelujah. If you just begin to open up your ears. Hallelujah. And let God speak to you. You will avoid trouble that was never meant for you. Let me reference one more verse. I can't help it tonight. When you start feeling God, you can't help it. The Bible puts it like this. Don't think this is my words. I'm extremely paraphrasing a very small passage that says, be slow to speak and swift to hear. Slow to speak. I laugh at that when I think about it. Because the one thing we want to offer instead of our praise or our faith, and I'm guilty of this too, is our opinion of the situation and not our faith over the situation. I hope one day when somebody says something to me that when I finally steal away that I'm not sitting there dwelling on, I can't believe they did that, but my heart changes. It says, God, this is nothing compared to the love that you have for them. Lord, this persecution, this is where Paul was at. Though I reckon that the present sufferings are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be what? Revealed. To the glory that shall be revealed, that shall be opened up. If you're dwelling in the suffering, you're missing out on the glory moment. Well, hallelujah, it might be in praise and worship. It might not be. One day God may just speak to you on the fly, but God will begin to speak to you. God has spoke to me when I've worked on homework. God spoke to me in my office chair. God spoke to me when I poured a cup of coffee. God spoke to me in the shower. God spoke to me on my way out to the car. He spoke to me before when I was shoveling a ditch out with dirt. He spoke to me before when I was high as could be. God has led me through many things. He's brought me through many trials. And every time that God's glory comes down, I just have to listen and say, God, where am I coming out of? Lead me out of this mess. Lead me out of this mess. Let your glory shine down so that I'm able. Somebody needs to acknowledge that God is able. Oh, you don't believe it tonight. God is able. God is able to supply all of your needs. If you're sick tonight, you believe with all your heart and just speak to your body right now and say, God is able. Somebody's giving you a hard time at work. Open up your spirit and go and just say, God is able. I came with the intentions, though, to come out swinging so the devil would have no room to get in the sandbox with God's people. If you don't begin to listen, preaching is of no effect. If you don't listen to the songs, they're of none effect. If you don't listen to the anointing, when it speaks to the people of God, it is none effect. When you don't listen to people that God sends during the week, it's of none effect. When you don't listen to the phone call that God tells you to change your ways, it is of none effect. Not just to be a hearer. Let's close the thought tonight. The Bible opens up after slow to speak, swift to hear, and to say, don't just be a hearer of what I will speak to you. Uh-oh. We're about to preach on 3/4 of the church. I feel it in the spirit. We can hear it and we can know it, but it's in when you step up and let God see that you're going to do it. When God sees that you have faith over a few things, the word says that he'll make you a ruler. Man, I feel God. He'll make you a ruler over many. To do requires sacrifice. To do requires sacrifice. Paul laid it all on the line around people. And when he was put on a ship to have his final trial, he was out when the tempest was raging and the winds soared about them. And they had done all that they could to save that boat. But I want you to know that in the midst of the storm, an angel of the Lord came down and spoke to Paul. And it would have been enough if he had just saw the angel and heard it. But he was bold enough to do it and to tell them, men around me, hear my voice. I heard from an angel and it said that we will make it on this ship. We'll come through this storm. My God, hallelujah.
It's not just for you to hear, but it's for you to step up and to do it. Peter was bold enough to step out on the boat. And I want you to know that before he sank his flesh, that God proved it to him that he could walk on the water.
Is it meant for us all to walk on the water? No. That wasn't the point of that passage and the point of that miracle. It was to show him that if he offered himself in faith and took the first step, when all other disciples that believed doubted, that when God bids you and you go, that he will. There's no minute of a foundation than water. The moment you put anything in water, it sinks. How and why did God use the mystery of water to be solid as a rock to speak to a man about faith? And it's this tonight. If you tried to walk out on the water on your own, the wind and the waves would surely overtake you. If you tried to live life on your own without God's help, leadership, and guidance, you'll be as if you were sinking in water trying to swim out of trouble. But he stepped out on something that was solid. Oh, if you got a hold of that, you could have church for yourself. He stepped out on something that God spoke to be wavy, to be used to test people. And he stepped out and off he went. And just as you continue to trust God, on you'll go. Paul also said, I can't help it. I went through the entire book of Acts and 1st, 2nd Corinthians. I'm just filled up with Paul tonight. As Paul was led by the Spirit of God, he began to even discuss and talk about some of the things that would bring divine order to your services. Didn't know God was going to go here, but we're going to take 30 seconds and go here. If you're looking and wondering why sometimes our church services begin to be in confusion, disarray, out of order, not in what God would have for somebody to be blessed, I want you to know it's that the children of God have to begin to bind under the Spirit of God and be under the covering of the glory of God. The very moment that you do, your services will be in order. You'll know exactly when to quit singing. You'll know exactly when to start preaching. You'll know exactly when to do an altar call, because God would have no one go out of here without them getting help. If God has to preach in the first 10 minutes, if you let the Spirit move, God will save somebody 10 minutes in. And I say this to be nothing personal. I'm speaking to many people that attend many different places in this place. If you're in a church that is consecutively walking into confusion, no order, little anointing, spurts here and there, take a moment in time when you're not at church to pray for the regard of the order of God. An order is not a program. An order isn't an ideal. Divine order will set things into place that as you operate in the Spirit, God will put you right in where you need to be. That ship came. Paul and everyone, the Bible goes as far as to record that every one of them survived according to the word of the angel that God sent to speak to Paul. The moment they descended off the ship, they were received out on the edge of the shore by some people, and they gathered around the fire, and I'm sure that as they were sitting there talking, rumors begin to spread about this Paul. Rumors begin to go around about who he was and what he'd done, and especially who he was claiming that he was now. And God wanted to prove to those that hadn't been overtaken by the rumors and overtaken by the naysay that God was mighty in his life. Hallelujah. I would have thought that seeing somebody coming on a boat like that would have been enough. And we see ships sink all the time, and yet when we get out on a boat and just have a joyous day, we can't give God praise for that. We're not thankful that we get back and forth from work. There's no miracle there. We're so numb to everything that we take advantage of. Our praise is often missed for the things God's already doing. I see one to two wrecks every day coming back and forth from work. And there's days when I see them happen, I just cry and I say, God, I know your hand is all about me. Hallelujah. I don't want to go off there. I'm going to pull back and go back to where we are. It would have been enough for them to be able to see the ship and not doubt who Paul was and what was his substance. But God used something that they would understand. They were in an area when they received on the shore that had serpents dwelling near the seaside. And as we know, a serpent came up and bit him. And it was long enough for them to observe that it was on him,
long enough by our science that we know to infect him, and definitely deadly enough to have killed him. But I want you to know that in an act of boldness and faith, listen, you're talking about a guy that just came off a boat that had an experience with an angel. If he did anything other than shake that thing off, then you would have thought that he wasn't faithful. But he shook that thing off in an act of boldness and authority. Didn't have to say a word about who he was. Man, I feel God. Didn't have to go to great lengths to explain, though I did all this. He didn't have to talk about Damascus to these people. The signs and wonders that God did right then was enough for them to know that God was surely with him. A lot of people get caught up in the discussion of serpent handling. They get caught up in discussions of whether it's right or whether it's wrong. But I want you to know that when you take this passage into consideration, do not let your mind be clouded up with thoughts of whether this is or is not. Just keep it as it is in the Bible. There was a moment in time when God used a serpent to bite this man. He shook it off and it demonstrated the power of God on him at the time. And I want you to know that if a serpent came up and bit you and you believed and trusted God, it's my every belief he'd take care of you. There's many serpents out in the world today. They take on the appearance of drugs. They take on the appearance of a car accident almost happened. They take the appearance of murderers trying to take your life. They come in many ways. It doesn't just have to be a snake that you're looking at. To know that God's glory shines in you, the thing that we have to do is be bold enough when we feel God's glory and have been through some things to shake off the attack that's trying to be put on us. You may be standing around in a strange place in a strange time with people that do not believe like you do, but I want you to know, as Paul did, if you just shake it off and you just let God move, you'll see the glory of God. God put a miracle in your life. I didn't know we were going to go back here, but God's not done with this yet. People are not drawn by talent. There's some great churches I've went to, heard the most wonderful singing, felt, and I'm not speaking against anybody, any place, just the moment. I'm talking about the moment. Places where God couldn't be free, and in your heart you knew. When conviction begins to move, you know. And people go out without help. Don't even hear the first word of the song. Don't even latch hold of it. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to be really plain and honest with you. Sometimes we go through the motions of church so much that I'm so wore out by just trying to break through that by the time that God wants to have us break through, that I'm ready for bed. You're going to have to laugh with me tonight. A tough crowd tonight. Been some times I've sang. I went to a revival one time. It was a 10-day revival. Day 7, I had preached till my voice was gone. Done all I'd known to do. And there was nothing more that I could say. It has to be a moment where you feel God's glory. And you will move for Him. I want you to know that I'm not sitting around and judging you based on whether you're sitting or standing. And I'm not judging you whether you're standing up in the choir or not if you can sing. And I'm not judging you tonight based on the fact that you can preach and you don't get too often here. I'm not judging on any of those things. For God did not call us to walk in this world as judges. The Word of God said, judge not, lest you would be judged. But I'm here tonight just to let you know that the same word that applies to the preacher that you're listening to right now is the same word that will bring a miracle for you. Brother, I'm waiting for somebody to go with me to them so that we can really have God move. Don't you know the same God that was in Paul is the same God that's in you? Same God that will help you shake off a serpent, will help you speak to cancer. Don't you be afraid of cancer. Don't you be afraid of disease. But you treat it just like a serpent and shake it off of you. To speak to the light that Paul experienced, another reference in the Bible says, light and darkness have no fellowship. And I just want you, not you don't have to amen me on this, but I just want you to acknowledge it in yourself right now that every time you're in a place where it's dark, that the only thing you're doing is doubting most of the time. If you're really, really real with me, you'll find yourself initially wanting to doubt. When we don't have clarity and don't have understanding just yet, and I'm guilty, just like everybody else, because we're all flesh, all made the same way. We all have moments where we doubt. And if we just looked with our eyes, sometimes we wouldn't see it. And if we based it on what we were hearing, sometimes we wouldn't believe it. And if I based it on what I felt, sometimes I wouldn't see it. But it's in moments when you can't see it that you trust God. Moments when you say me, when you will trust God. The Word of God says in the book of Romans that he who calls, say calls, Paul taught this very plainly, he who calls upon the name of the Lord, are you with me tonight? He who calls, I want you to know that calling sometimes just isn't necessarily in prayer. Calling is a reaching forth for contact. There's been some times that I didn't have words to say, and I remember playing the bass when a few years ago, and that was the only way I knew how to call God. And you might think that's silly, but there's been nights I just played with all my might, and I said, God, I'm not preaching right now, and I'm not singing right now, but you see my life, and I'm calling out to you, and just played with all my might, and you don't have to be up in a pulpit Sunday after Sunday to have miracles fall in your life. And oh, if you just offered yourself and how God leads you. Paul was a very knowledgeable man. Paul was able to have the ability to write to different churches and had favor on the letters that when they read them, it helped them to continue to stay established. Now, some of us aren't as great as to be called as Paul. I often wish that I could write as he did or have the reasoning and logic that he did to deal with people, but sometimes I don't. But let me tell you what I go to every time that I need something done for me. It's when I get down and seek God for everything in my life. I couldn't preach a single night without seeking God for the word. I couldn't sing and have meaning unless I sought God, oh, to lead me in a song. I did not plan tonight to sing Blessed Be the Name, followed by He Came Looking for Me, and into a course of How Great Thou Art. But I want you to know that somebody needed every part of what was offered. I won't doubt it any bit at all. I know with all my heart, when you offer something humbly, that though people may act like they're not getting into it, and you hear this, people growing up in ministry, they don't have to be standing for them to be blessed.